The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus was teaching in the temple, and a large crowd was listening to him. He said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. What is our relationship to divine providence? Another way to ask that question is, how readily and how easily do we trust in God to provide for our needs? Those two questions are basically the same. What does God ask of us? God turns to us in love and says, "Come, be mine, belong to me, be my son and daughter. Take up my covenant with my people. Be part of this covenant, and I will be your God, and I will provide for your needs, and I will love you, and I will be there for you, and I will not abandon you. We will be together forever." This is essentially the covenant that God offers to us. Be mine. Be a member of this covenant. Join with me in this covenant, and I will be your God. Step one, accept covenant with God. And from a Christian point of view, that basically equates to baptism. We enter into covenant with God through baptism. Then God says, "Follow my commandments. Love me with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, your whole being. And I will be your God. I will look after your needs. If I can provide for the needs, the simple needs of the sparrows in the field, how much more will I provide for your needs? You are much more valuable than many sparrows." These are the words of our God. Our God. A God who is not far, distant, apathetic, uncaring. A God that is not, our God is not too busy to hear us. He reassures us over and over in a variety of ways within Scripture and within our hearts through prayer that He knows us intimately. The number of hairs on our head. Before we were born, He formed us in our mother's womb. He knows us inside and out. And it takes either a moment, a flash of grace and faith that can last a lifetime to believe this, or it can take a whole lifetime to come to be able to believe this. But nonetheless, it is true. In our readings this Sunday, we've been given this message again in a different way. In each of our readings, well, three of four, we hear of God's care for the widow. The widow within Scripture is a symbol for all those who are vulnerable, all those who need the support of others. And this comes from the societal kind of structure where more often than not, if a woman was widowed, she was left on her own. She was needing to go to great lengths to strive and try to care for herself in whatever way she can. And so, in many places through Scripture, God, through His commandments and His instruction and His reminders, He take care of the widow, take care of those who are in need, who are vulnerable. And God takes care of this widow, this symbolic widow, and also two individuals, as we hear about in scriptures. The widow in our first reading, who in a drought has nothing to offer her visitor, and he says, "Just make me a little something to eat." She says, "Well, I haven't got anything to prepare for you. Not even for myself, not even for you." He said, "Don't worry. Do as I say. And when you begin, make me a little something. And God will fill your provisions and keep them plentiful or sufficient through this drought until the danger or the risk or the struggle is over. God will meet your needs." And miraculously, it was so. The provisions of that widow were met by the grace and generosity of God, out of His love for that woman. She trusted, she had faith in that instruction and that God would care for her. And in response to her faith, God provided for her needs. In our gospel reading, we meet another widow who, in her great trust of God, gave everything she had in tribute, in thanksgiving. She gave what she had back to God. Anybody with a practical mind would say that is unwise. What is she going to eat on? How is she going to make ends meet? What is she going to do tomorrow? Why would she do that? It's puzzling. It doesn't match the rules of regular everyday interactions, the typical rules of life. But Jesus commends her for her generosity, one, but more than that, her trust. Her trust in God's care. She has already experienced God's providence in her life. He has brought her this far. And if God desires to give her tomorrow, He will provide. And so, in acknowledgement of God's goodness, she gives everything back. There is a type of quality of giving that we have within our tradition, to give God our first fruits. And this essentially means, it comes from farming and harvesting. To give God first fruits is to give God what out of thanksgiving, out of gratitude, out of acknowledgement of his gift first, we give God the best and the first. Before we put anything in storage, before we enjoy a feast with our family, before anything like this, we remember what God has done for us. Giving God first fruits, the first off the crop, the best of the bunch. Because we have acknowledged that God has offered to us this harvest, he is caring for us. He has given us a new day. He will never abandon us. And if we trust in him, we will continue to be recipients, beneficiaries of God's gracious generosity, his providence. This takes faith and trust. And this faith and trust to be able to rely on God and not worry about tomorrow is not easy. But God has promised us over and over and over again and demonstrated over and over and over again through the history of his relationship with humanity through to today in our own personal lives. Multiple times, if we were to reflect and remember, we would be able to begin to acknowledge and see and recognize God's goodness providing for us. Does that mean he removes all challenge and barrier, all concern? No. We all know that every day brings some sort of struggle or concern or trial. But those are also opportunities to turn to our God first in our need, first in our thanksgiving, first with our trust, first in our gratitude, first with our praise, first with our love. And the more we are able to do this, the more we will be able to do this. We receive grace through this covenantal relationship with our God. Along with his generosity, along with his watchfulness and care for our needs, we receive grace, which is more valuable than any sort of earthly sense of stability or security. This grace increases our freedom, our ability to continue to trust, to continue to recognize God working in our lives, and to be able to be better at hoping and knowing that God is near, that God loves, and that God has our back because he loves us. What does he ask of us? To be with him, to follow him, to listen and to have our listening be reflected in our actions, to turn to him in our need, to receive what he is offering to us, including mercy, forgiveness, which is another form of freedom. To be with God is freedom, no matter what else is going on in our life or in the world. And that freedom will last beyond this world if we allow it. Let us learn from these widows. Let us do our part in caring for the widows in our midst, and in caring for them, we are expressing our gratitude also to God. Let us learn to be able to offer to God our first fruits, whatever shape that those fruits may be, so that where we are He will be, and we will know it day to day, forever.